This is the way it feels to move through summer in Lululemon. Iconic align softness without the front seam. For our smoothest look and feel ever, summer won't know what hit it. Stretch your limits in the non-stop flexibility of the new Lululemon Align No Line Pant in select stores and at lululemon.com.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Value Inspiration Podcast. My name is Ton Dobbe and I'm the founder of Value Inspiration and the author of The Remarkable Effect. I'm creating a tribe of tech entrepreneurs that are on a mission to do something big and meaningful. I invite you to join the tribe as well, especially if you want to create change that matters and put your software business on momentum that you're proud of. The goal that I have with this podcast is twofold. Firstly, to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. And secondly, share experiences from tech entrepreneurs like you about what is required to create a remarkable software business and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so. The guest on my podcast today is David Hoya, co-founder and chief innovation officer at Loro.
I got inspired by Stephen Hawking. He inspired me actually personally and professionally. And I do believe there are many people like Stephen Hawking out there. They're just missing accessible technology to be the next Stephen Hawking, to be the next engineer, designer, whatever they want to be. There are many people like Stephen Hawking. They're brilliant. They're intelligent. They have like some people that are very, very smart. But the only problem, they're stuck in their body. They cannot move their body. They cannot talk. Their mind is like with the whole universe. They can do many things. But the only challenge is if we unlock their potential, they can talk, they can communicate first, then they can do much thing with their ability. Then we can move on to another level, how to make them more independent, how to make them more engaged, how to help them to be employed. We want those people to be active in society, to be engaged, to do more, not just for them, for everyone.
This is David. His background is in medical devices, in engineering and healthcare innovation. He is passionate about empowering people with physical challenges to live independently and making a great social impact. David has invented and developed many medical devices, such as adjustable dental instruments, wheelchairs that convert into a walker, a medical drone for emergencies, and a medical app tracking health for people with chronic diseases. He also built an autonomous personal transporter for wheelchair users that can convert a manual wheelchair into an electronic wheelchair. Loro is David's third company. He has received awards, nominations, and news coverage from organizations such as MIT, Harvard University, ALSA, Harvard Innovation Lab, Fit for Start in Luxembourg, the Microsoft Imagine Cup, and TechCrunch. Loro is an AI-powered, smart, personalized companion for wheelchair users to navigate safely and to communicate efficiently. A person with physical challenges can't interact with the world in the same way as the able. But there's no reason why we can't use tech to close that gap. And that inspired me, and hence I invited David to my podcast. We explore the challenges of creating solutions that are life-changing. What mindset do you need? What's the secret sauce to your approach? How do you make critical decisions? And how to make tangible progress and create something remarkable. By listening to this podcast, you'll learn three things. Firstly, that there is no lack of good ideas. What separates you from doing something remarkable is in turning these ideas into solutions that matter. Secondly, why it is critical to get crystal clear on the real problem and what is its value proposition. If you don't get this right, you won't survive for long. Thirdly, how to remove bias. How to find ways to seek the truth, finding out what's right and what's wrong. Doing your homework here paves the path to your success. So hi, David. Thank you for making the time available today and be a guest on my podcast.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, this was all starting in a very interesting way, just to give an update to my audience. You started to react on podcast number 100, giving me a like. That's how we got connected. That's how I saw what you're doing and being a co-founder of a company called Loro. I got intrigued with what you do, and that's how things got into acceleration. So Before we start and talk about the company and the product that you've developed with your company, a little bit about you. And what I always try to do is to summarize, well, let you summarize who you are in, let's say, three words. What are the things that set you apart?
Okay, sounds great. I like it. So, three words. Like, first, it's quite challenging, but I can say three words: curiosity, passion, and purpose. These are three words. But do you want me to speak a little bit about background about myself? So, yeah, since I was a kid, I've always liked to innovate with great passion, great curiosity to discover and to invent things. I was really impressed by electronics. That's why I played a lot of with electronics and games and everything. One thing happened when I was a kid, my uncle got into a spinal injury. So knowing someone as full-time wheelchair user has basically inspired my ideas to help someone like my uncle, like at least like to make the wheelchair. I started with a simple idea, how to make the wheel a little bit better, adding some better cushion, like very basic ideas based on my skills and background. Yeah. But when I grew up, went to college, I was studying mechanical engineering. And then I got inspired by Stephen Hawking. Yeah. I was very well known everywhere, and he inspired me actually personally and professionally. And I do believe there are many people like Stephen Hawking out there. They're just missing accessible technology to be the next Stephen Hawking, to be the next engineer, designer, whatever they want to be. And I met many of them. After college, even after working with many startups in the Boston area, then I met someone, his name is Steve Saling. He's very well known in the New England area. He was diagnosed with ALS in 2006. He was a great landscape designer. Even he built a smart nursing home for people with disabilities, someone with ALS, multiple sclerosis, and severe conditions, so they can live in a very safe and good conditions with the special care. So basically, Steve inspired all my background, starting from my uncle, starting from Stephen Hawking, and other people I met already. Then, I said, like, I want to help you, Steve, and I want to help other people as well. I have technical skills, like, tell me what you need, and I'll help. Yeah. One thing, Steve, now he cannot speak at all. He used computer to type every single letter, which is very frustrating, very slow. Sometimes he takes about 20 minutes just to speak one sentence.
Wow.
Very slow. And, I know technology. We can do something better. Then, basically, Steve and I went to assistive technology conference at MIT in 2017. And that's where I met my co-founders. So basically we had relative friends with other conditions. Then we said, now we have common skills, common interests, and common purpose. Let's do something together.
Yeah.
So we started the idea just to help them to basically with navigation. Because they cannot move their neck to see what's around them, what's behind them.
Yep. Let me interrupt you here, because I know what you're doing, but my audience, I think, still doesn't have a real clue about what it's about. So let's explain first, what is the big idea behind Loro in a couple of sentences? What have you created and why?
Yeah. So Loro is an assistive companion for people with communication and physical challenges. To basically, one, to control the surrounding, two, to communicate much faster, and also connect them to smart home devices so they can control all of that. And the good news, they can do everything just by their eyes, based on their ability, or joystick, or head mouse, or other ability switches.
Yeah, and that's what I saw from your website and what intrigued me, because, I mean, the main purpose of my podcast is about, I mean, the fantastic story we can tell and the value we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. And I think that is exactly what's happening here. You give people with disabilities their abilities back with technology. That's fascinating.
One thing also to mention, I mentioned to you, like, there are many people like Stephen Hawking. They're brilliant. They're intelligent. They have, like, some people that are very, very smart. But the only problem, they're stuck in their body. They cannot move their body. They cannot talk. Their mind is, like, with the whole universe, they can do many things. But the only challenge is if we unlock their potential, they can talk, they can communicate first, then they can do much thing with their ability, like regain, like how to control, how to move from the wheelchair, or how to even turning on and off light. even simple tasks, like tasks like, okay, let's start from the basic, then we can move on to another level, how to make them more independent, how to make them more engaged, how to help them to be employed. Because a lot of them suffer, like now they're at home, like waiting for help. Like, yeah. I want to be like Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking is, he was a professor. Like, yeah, it's not like a regular job.
No, so that's correct.
We want those people to be active in society, to be engaged, to do more, not just for them, for everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what triggered me, because like I said, my audience is business audience. And of course, your solution is way more, well, broader applicable than just business, because at the end, it's about people's lives.
Yes.
But indeed, what you're enabling here is that people that had a professional life, possibly got an accident, or in whatever way or form, they became disabled. And now you give them a way to get back and to add value to society and enjoy their lives again.
Yeah. One thing just to mention, this is actually in a spark, something from my background and my passion, and since I was a kid. I love birds.
Yeah.
Birds are always my friends, like from like eagles, parrots, penguins, and all kind of birds. And especially a parrot. I had a parrot when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And he was able to speak. So I know that ability very well. Also as a companion, as a friend. One thing, when we named the company Loro, we had a discussion with the whole team. I was still like trying to convince everyone in the team, like I like the companionship, like as a device, because I don't want to be very technical, especially as a name or as a brand.
Yeah.
I want this to be as a companion, and best companion can be a bird.
Yeah.
And one of them actually a parrot. We mentioned the idea to name the name parrot, but one thing, we know that there's a big company in drone called a parrot.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we don't want to make conflict, because I can name my company now Apple or Google. No, I don't want to be in trouble, or even in terms of branding and business. Okay, we can try other languages. Make it like, even parrot is not really friendly name. We want like a pet name.
Yeah.
You know, people like they name their pet like dogs or cats, Coco or Zico, like very friendly name. Then okay.
Exactly.
Then we try Spanish. What is Spanish? Spanish is Loro. L-O-R-O. That sounds nice. We can go Spanish, and we named the company as a parrot in Spanish. This is
yeah, that's what I saw. And I mean, for those on the podcast, because at the end it's an audio podcast, but the product is actually a copy of a parrot.
So yeah. Yeah.
That's how it looks
and basically,
like.
We are mainly as a communication device. And basically, the device can speak for them. Now the device basically speak with the computer voice. But down the road, we have a vision based on product generations. At one point, we want the product to speak their own voices.
Exactly.
And you can do this with all animals. Parrots can mimic your voice.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's connecting you to something else, someone else that I recently had on my podcast, Rupal Patel, who's really taking this whole voice branding game to a complete new level.
Yes.
So I'm not sure whether you know her, but if not, get in contact, because she can give your product a voice. So talking about, well, I think everybody is clear about what the opportunity is if you get this right, because it really helps people that are brilliant to become brilliant again by getting their abilities back. So you mentioned already it was 2017 when you got together with your co-founders. So the company is pretty new and pretty fresh. What did you do to your product that makes it remarkable in its own right? Because are there any products that are comparable in this space, or is this something that's truly unique?
It's actually quite unique, and there is no direct competition at this moment.
Okay.
But if you want to have all the values that we're providing in one compact device, you need to buy 3-4 devices.
Okay.
That's first of all. And not just that, we need to customize like these devices to be compatible with each other and working together. That's like taking time and money and effort to do that.
Yeah.
That's one thing. In terms of how did we get from 2017 until now, so like we are an early stage company, but based on my experience before, I had very strong background in robotics and medical devices. So I used that my knowledge. It's because this field is very relative. Assistive technology is very related to medical devices or robotics. And that's mm-hmm. basically my background.
Yeah.
And the same thing with my co-founders. They helped me. But I think the secret sauce, let's put it this way. I think the secret sauce is basically following the holistic approach. What does it mean? So basically talking to everyone. I'm talking about end users, patients, talking about caregivers, I'm talking about doctors, assistive technology experts, medical professionals, community, even someone from outside, from inside, organizations, government, VA healthcare. We went to hospitals to talk with each one. Then getting feedback, getting that spawn from each one. When you follow that holistic approach with the customer discovery, you will find all the points that you need to build a product, to make a business. Because you will see, not just like, if we are just speaking with the patient alone, like just the patient who is suffering from their disability, we will miss a lot. But we followed all like holistic, because I want to, from this side and from the other side, from the other angle, from each angle, 360 degree.
So what do you, for example, if you speak only to, well, you're actually your end user, you said you missed a lot. Can you give an example of something that you would likely have missed?
One thing, based on our product roadmap, our first generation is basically device meant for the patients, for communications, to talk with anyone. And usually, most of the time, they talk to their caregivers, most of the time. But if we just build that, we're going to miss like a huge opportunity, which is how can we build an app or a product for the caregiver to manage their time? Because one of the challenges like caregiver they're facing is burnout. Because usually taking care of their patient too much. They spend a lot of time, money, resources just to take care of their patients. And that's a huge one. Even the way how the patient and the caregiver are communicating, if we're just looking from the one side, we'll miss the other person. Like, and that's even from the communication level, even how you build your algorithms and communication platform, you have to know the other pair or other person. Like, are you talking just to a caregiver? What type of patient are you talking here? Or are you talking with your kids? Because they're, or spouses, parents, we need to know each one, like, who are you talking with? Like, even not just that, because the patient, they have to talk with doctors at some point because they have their medical appointment. They have to talk with their therapist and not just one kind of therapist. I'm talking about different kind of therapists. We have speech therapists and we have occupational therapists and we have physical therapists, different kind of therapists. Yeah. And each one, they talk differently.
Yeah, and it's like the language that you have to embed sort of in the product again and the understanding of that. Yeah, understand that. I mean, these are things you would never think about. You know, it's I agree with you. So you need to have that 360 degree view. So when is since when is the product on the market?
Now we're in the beta testing at this moment. Okay. So the product will be ready, I think, in about 6 months from now, to deliver the final product. In terms of the hardware is ready for manufacturing. Well, now we build everything just we can just scale up from hardware perspective. Google software, we're trying with the beta testing to get all the latest feedback and fixing all the tiny bugs here and there. Deployment.
What have you seen so far? Well, from the feedback from your actual users, from people that are disabled. I mean, what is an anecdote, for example, that you said, you know, this is why we're doing it?
Yeah, I can mention one person actually. He's actually one of my mentors. He lives with multiple sclerosis and he's a scientist. He went to Cornell and also Caltech in California studying engineering. And now he is living in the wheelchair, even he cannot speak. One day after we implement the eye tracking with our system, so they can use their eyes and control the software and the hardware. I was super happy, excited. I went from Harvard Innovation Lab right away to him. Because he's a technical person, like at the end of the day, not just a disabled, because his feedback will be very important.
Yeah, sure.
I was super happy. Then, okay, I went there. Then I went, hey, this is the device is ready to go. You can now control it just by their eyes. Tell me what you think. He was playing with the app and he was super happy. And one thing, I looked to his eyes at one moment because I like to have a personal connection, not just like, it's not just business here. He was super happy and excited, and he was about to cry. I saw that in his eyes. And I felt deep down in my heart that I'm doing something here. And it doesn't matter. It's a business. It's whatever. I am changing lives here. I felt like this is a purpose. This is a passion to work with. I said, thank you. And then I went straight back to the lab and talked with my team. I told him, hey, he was super happy. He was about to cry. And then now I felt this is deep inside my heart, and I want to help him and other people no matter what.
Yeah, that's
true. That's like one thing like I had like during user testing. That's one example. I have another example when we did user testing with a woman who is, I think, about 90 years old, mm-hmm. and she's also a wheelchair user. She told us, Laura can help me to be more independent. I don't want to be asking and accumulation and by asking other people, can you do this for me, or like even turning the light, or like simple to ask, because I feel so bad. I want to be able to do that by myself. I want to feel like independence, like kind of freedom. This is gonna save me from any disrespect from anyone.
Exactly.
You know, okay, that's very true, and we want to continue with that.
You forget about it.
Yeah. And the same thing, Steve Saling, I mentioned him. He said, like, we are the first company who's bringing AI machine learning for people with disability to be interact with the world. And basically, Loro is a game changer. And one day he said, like, Loro is super damn cool.
Well, I mean, that's what I saw. And that's why I invited you in the first place. Talking about, you know, running a business, creating a product, and of course, the ideas is how it all starts. But then it's, of course, making it all happen. What has been your biggest challenge so far, and how did you overcome that?
I mean, first of all, as a startup early stage, you have many challenges. First of all is the funding. So we don't have much funding to move and make some tractions. We try our best to use whatever we have from. We won many awards and grants from many competitions. It took us quite some time, more than a year, like the whole 2018 and a few months in 2019 until we get the first check from the first angel investor. So it took us like funding was quite challenging.
True.
Not just us, for any startup, like that's sure. like something. The other challenge from the technology, which is we are dealing with a lot of people with different kind of conditions. Yeah. Some people, they can move their head. Some people, they can speak them. Some people can't speak. So you don't have like one persona and and I can build one product and that's it. So, and that's like bringing more technical challenge for us to build, like to be compatible and make them, all of them happy. But then we decided to break this down into phases. Phase one, which is basically very severe condition who cannot speak at all. That's what we're targeting at this moment.
Let me make a small interruption here. David just made a critical remark about the choices he made to phase his product in order to deliver remarkable value for his ideal customer. Not all at once, but one challenge at a time. And this addresses two critical traits of a remarkable software business. They create new value possibilities and they focus on the essence. And I discuss this in far more depth in chapter 5 and 7 in my book, The Remarkable Effect. If you seek to level up in this area, I recommend you to buy a copy of my book. The good thing is, you will not only learn how to create new value possibilities or how to focus on the essence, you will also learn about all the other traits that make up a remarkable software business. You can find my book on all the portals where they sell books online. Back to the interview.
Then phase two, we can target more people with more, less conditions. They can speak and they need more features like controlling the smart home and connectivity and other sides. They don't need the communication much. They need it at certain level. But if you're talking now with people with disability, with cognitive issues, honestly, we are not ready for them. In the future, we'll try to do something for them, but we're not ready at all to and like break down the technology and break down the product into phases and different generations, help us to target people one by one, making baby step first and making progress traction. Then we move to the second. And that's how we able to make some tractions.
Yeah, I mean, in my book, I write about it as well. And, you know, it's about one of the traits that I see in, as a for remarkable software companies is about creating new value possibilities, which is what you do. But the other, another trait that I also see as a very important one is, you know, how you can focus on the essence. And from what I've heard so far from all the people that I've interviewed and also from my own experience, sometimes you just go too wide, and wide is okay. But if you don't go deep enough, at the end, you end up with something that doesn't work for anybody. So here's a good example of what you just did is focus on one particular area. Don't pretend that you're the best for everybody, but focus that in a remarkable way. And then move it sideways.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Talking about the book that I wrote, The Remarkable Effect, always interesting to hear from people that are in the space itself. What do you believe is a trait that you need to have in order to create something remarkable as a company?
I think two things. If you have a passion, like very strong passion, unique, pure passion, that's like one thing you have to. And to make it remarkable, it has to be with a good purpose. And what's the purpose of that? What is the purpose of your technology or your product or whatever you're trying to make? If you have a great purpose, it's going to be remarkable, of course.
Yeah, because at the end, you're solving a big problem. I mean, this is something that is of a size that you possibly can't even imagine yet, simply because there are so many people that suffer from this in the first place. And if you can solve this, this is not around Boston. This is globally and
exactly
interesting. So talking about, for example, that whole go-to-market aspect, I mean, my first podcast was with a guy called Maurizio Vecchione. And he was talking about the principle of catalytic invention. And it was about three things: solving the issue around applicability, accessibility, and affordability. Talking about, well, you create your solution, which of course is something that's about technology and it's about people giving people a life back. But have you thought about, or have you already kind of overcome the idea of, okay, how are we going to help people, for example, in Africa with this, in countries that, you know, don't have that monetary bandwidth? Is this something that you're going to do through NGOs, or, I mean, how are you going to spread this around the world?
Yeah, so first, like, to be realistic, so we're targeting here, like, because we are here in the US, we'll focus now in the US market. Down the road, definitely we need to work with NGOs, with even United Nations and other organizations globally to be able to deliver technology to other countries. But if you have an established healthcare system, then it's going to be easier. But if you don't have like a great healthcare system, definitely we need to work with the global organizations.
Exactly. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So you're still in your beta phase. Let me see. So there's no experience yet with getting it into the market, selling it. You're just working with of course, the early users of this. Well, I mean, we're getting also to the top of the hour, or the bottom of the hour in this case. From everything that you've learned so far, creating the company, getting to your beta phase, testing the whole thing. From the things that you've learned, what advice would you give tech entrepreneurs that want to achieve something like this to do different, to think different? Of course, you had touched already upon passion and purpose, but anything, well, that you would advise them?
I have many things to share.
What is the best advice you got yourself that you say, hey, wait a minute, this is something that everybody needs to know?
I think in terms of ideas, everybody can make ideas. You and I can brainstorm for 10 minutes. We can come up with like another invention or idea too.
True.
There is no lack of ideas. I think what is lack is how to use some ideas and turn that into something great. As a product, as a company, for example. For profit or non-profit, that's the thing. So I think like for entrepreneurs especially, they need to understand what's the problem exactly.
True.
What are you solving exactly? Is it a real problem or just you invented this? Or maybe it's not like, it's not really a problem or not a big wild problem. So you need to understand what's the problem exactly. And what's the value proposition based on your proposed solution? If you don't understand your value proposition, what are you giving to people? You're going to miss a lot. And even your company might not survive. You can survive for a few months or a few years, then next you will die.
Sure.
Customer discovery, it's crucial. Don't be afraid. Don't rush things. Make your time. Take your time. Spend your time making sure you're following the holistic approach. Talking with all stakeholders. Everyone involved in the pictures. If you're developing something with aviation, you have to talk with everyone in the aviation, even from military, civilian, everything. If you're talking to Abbas about disability, we talk with government, NGOs, we talk with many NGOs, sure. Even though we're still not ready for them. But at one point, I know I'm going to reach them. I need to understand their point of view, because I might do something even with the tech, small changes to help me to have a good partnership with them in the future. All small details. Don't say like, no, I'm ready to go, or like I did like 10 user testing and I'm really happy. And also don't be biased. Some people, they do user testing like in one district and one city and, oh, I'm happy. But okay. We did testing in cities, suburbs, outside, different ages. Then we came up with our equation. True. So doing all the homeworks. Some people, they do one homework and I'm outside. No, it's like basically kind of research. You have to be non-biased. You have to seek truth to be able to find what is right or what is wrong.
Valuable advice. And that's, I think, a lot of very good ideas sometimes, well, fail in a big way. Yeah, because at the end, that feedback will come anyway. And if the feedback from the customer is like, yeah, good idea, but not for me, then that's a big investment down the drain. So what is next for you? What is your greatest aspiration for this to be in 12 months or 24 months time?
For us as a company?
Yeah.
I think the biggest things for us is getting the first generation ready and trying to change lives and making smiles for all these people, patients, end users, and caregivers, and improving their lives. That's what we are looking for next.
That's where the purpose comes in again. Exactly, the mission you're on. Well, yes. If there's anything you could ask the audience, I mean, the audience is typically a lot of tech entrepreneurs, of course, people in the services industry in various categories of seniority. If you could ask one thing, what would it be? What would you like help with?
I think we would like to help us with whatever you can. If you can go to our website, loro.xyz, and check our mission, check what are we doing. If you can help us with partnerships, if you can help us with users, if you can help us with even funding, help us with feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Check us, and we're always happy to hear from you from everywhere, all around the world.
Yeah. So how can people get in contact with you?
You can just email me. My email is very simple, david@loro.xyz.
Okay. I like the website, by the way, the XYZ part.
Yeah, XYZ, like all dimensions.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, this was pretty inspiring, and I'm glad we got to talk and share the big idea behind your company. I learned a lot. I hope my audience did the same. And thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure for me as well. And that leads me to turn myself to my audience. Thanks for listening, and please share what your thoughts are about this episode. If you have any comments or have any questions, let us know. And if you like it, please share it with other tech entrepreneurs on a mission that you have in your network. Other than that, thanks for tuning in. I had the honor to speak to David Hoya, co-founder and chief innovation officer at Loro. As said, the goal that I have in this podcast is twofold. Firstly, to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. And secondly, share experiences from tech entrepreneurs like you about what is required to create a remarkable software business and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so. Before I close, I have two more comments to make. If you know other tech entrepreneurs on a mission that have a story worth sharing, please send me an email at ton.dobby@valueinspiration.com. Building the momentum all starts with revealing the ideas. And that starts with you. And if you want to know more about my book, or you're interested in joining the Remarkable Effect tribe, please visit my website at www.valueinspiration.com. Thanks for tuning in. And you could do me a big favor by rating the podcast on iTunes or provide me with your feedback directly. I'll see you shortly on a new episode.